Bibles, the book of Psalms tonight, Psalm 22. Psalm 22, and what a joy it is to gather in the house of God and be able to open the Word of God, look into it, and see that which the Lord's got for us tonight. Amen. And I do want to say again how much I appreciate you being faithful, being in your place in this midweek service. And I don't know about you, but I need that as much as I do Sunday. Amen. It helps us in between Sundays. Amen. And we thank the Lord for it. Appreciate you also allowing us to have that time to go off our anniversary. I did bring her back. She is here. She's just working in the nursery tonight. I thought about telling you I was going to pick her back up on her 25th, but I didn't know if anybody would take that serious thought, but she's back out working the nursery tonight. But I appreciate you allowing us to go off a few days and rest and have a good time, so I appreciate it so very much tonight. All right, Psalm 22. Psalm 22, we've been preaching through this psalm a little bit. I'm going to begin reading in verse 22 tonight. We've looked at the early part, and we'll read these latter verses tonight. We won't get done with the psalm, but we'll go a little further with it tonight in Psalm 22 and beginning in verse 22. The Bible said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. All the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's. He is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the reading of the Word of God tonight. I thank you for allowing us this occasion to come and assemble together as we are. And I pray now for a little while that you'd help me. Give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. Give me a traveling mind through the Scripture tonight. Oh Lord, may your Word become surreal to us like never before. I pray for that and it's lost. May the Holy Ghost so reprove them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, that they'd repent and be saved. Help us as your people. My heart desire, Lord, tonight is to glorify you. I make much of you before this congregation and those by internet. Lord God, use us, I pray, and everything you do, we'll thank and we'll praise you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We've been preaching now several services here in Psalm 22. We will get through this one and get into 23 and 24. But here in Psalm 22, we've already looked, we've noticed that the psalm is divided in two parts. We've covered verse 1 through 21 on the gloom, dealing with the cross itself, and how we saw in verse 1 and 5, verse 9 through 11, verse 19 through 21, of Christ and his cries. For we are reminded, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then we looked at Christ and the crowd in verse 6 through 8, verse 12 through 13. And then we looked also at Christ and the cross, verses 14 through 18. And so we've seen the gloom. And indeed, in those times that he was on the cross, it was dark times. It was at the time that Christ took our sin, took the sin of the whole world and place it upon himself to die that you and I could be saved, that we could go free. And so we see the gloom. Oh, but now in verses 22 through verse 31, we're beginning to see the glory. Can I say I'm glad it ain't all gloom? Amen. There is glory. Amen. See, Christ died once for sin, but he resurrected to live forevermore. Hey, I'm glad we're serving a living Savior tonight. He's not a dead prophet. He's not a dead king. He's not a dead Savior. He's not a dead God, but he's a living God. Amen. Hey, friend, tonight there is the glory that is talked about here in Psalm 22. Well, I'll look first tonight, and this is all we'll get covered as verse 22 through 25. We find the resurrection is mentioned. You say, preacher, I didn't see that. Well, notice what he's saying again in these verses. He said this, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise thee? Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred at the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. You see, Christ died on the cross. And for him to be able to say these words, he had to resurrect. He had to rise again. Now, let me help you with this, and I'll look more at the resurrection for a few minutes tonight. I know Easter ain't far away, and we'll do it probably again then. But I think it's important you understand the importance of the resurrection. There's a lot of religions in the world. Oh, yeah, there's cults, there's all kinds of so-called religions, and they all have a founder. Amen. They, as a matter of fact, most of them wrote their own books. Amen. And they want to call them holy books. They ain't holy books. They're unholy books. Amen. But here's the difference in all them and what we're believing, who we believe tonight. All those founders are dead. Amen. They can't help nobody. Amen. They can pray to them. They can give offerings to them. But their God, their founder, is dead. Now, I'm going to make a statement. It may make some nervous, but it don't me because it's right. If that crowd really believed what they were teaching their people, they are in hell tonight in torment. That's right. There ain't but one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. No other way. Amen. You say, friend, you say, preacher, that is too divisive. That's narrow-minded. It is narrow-minded because it is a narrow way. Amen. Jesus said he was the way. Amen. He said, I am the way, the life. Hey, listen to me. All preachers do, God called preachers, is declare to you what Jesus already said. Amen. Hey, we know he's alive forevermore. All that other crowd's not. You hear me? Hey, Mary can't help anybody. Now, I believe Mary's in heaven because I believe she is a righteous woman. But I'm going to tell you something. She had to recognize who her son was. Amen. You say, preacher, you're just so hot. Well, call it what you want. I'm preaching truth. Amen. I'd rather take the Bible than my opinion or your opinion. The Bible's right. Amen. And so for him to say, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. How can he do that if he don't resurrect? Amen. But we know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now, I want to spend a few minutes about the resurrection. There's three things I want to look at as we're thinking about now. This is just under the set point of resurrection. These three things are. Now, may I say this, and I want to stress this. It was a bodily resurrection. He did not resurrect as a spirit, but he came out in a glorified body. Amen. Listen to me. When he said, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation, will I praise thee? Can I say this? That is even reminded of in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Listen to this. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now, the Calvinists don't like that verse. That crowd says, there ain't nothing you can do about it. Oh, friend, he tasted death for every man. Yes, sir. Hey, then verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. That right there ought to make us take time out and shout a while. That he's not ashamed to call us brethren. We are a part, hey, I like that. We are a part of the family of God. Amen. Hey, we're not perfect in these old bodies. We know that. But God don't see us this way. He sees us through his son Jesus. And in that standing, we're perfect before God. Amen. That's why he's not ashamed of us. Amen. Then he said this in verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto God. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, he resurrected. He appeared to those disciples, the brethren, the beginning of the church. Amen. Hey, I want to say this. I do believe in the church. Amen. I'm not for anything that ain't done through the local church. I really mean that. Hey, I don't support stuff outside of that. As far as on a monthly basis, I believe it ought to be done through the church. Amen. Hey, we find that he's talking about the resurrection in a body. Now, let's look at some verses. I want you to follow along with me a little bit. Over in Matthew 28, we studied chapter 27, son, during the crucifixion, but chapter 28, the resurrection chapter. We find that verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. So early that Sunday morning, they are coming. They're going to anoint the Lord. But when they get there, the stone is rolled away. Why? Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, I always love to say this because it's right. He did not roll the stone away to let Christ out. He is already gone. He rolled the stone away so them ladies could get in. Amen. Ain't that like the Lord to be a good gentleman, open the door? Amen. Let them ladies come in there and see. And the angel appeared to him and them in that verse. Oh, listen, verse 5. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. I come see the place where the Lord lay. Hey, he let them know he resurrected. Now, Christ had promised that on many occasions. He mentioned about, you destroy this temple, 3 days, I'll build it back. Hey, he is speaking of his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, notice with me now, as we come in this chapter, there in verse 6 down through verse number 10, it said, he is not here, he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I've told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples' word. Now notice, pay attention here in verse 9-10. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came, and look at this, and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, if he is just a spirit, how could they hold him by the feet? Amen. Don't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Amen. Anybody tell you that's just a spiritual resurrection, they don't know much. Amen. They certainly do not know the Bible. For it said they held him by the feet. You could touch him. Amen. Why, he came out in a glorified body. Over in the book of Luke, he talks some more about this. In Luke chapter 24, we find those two on the road to Emmaus. We find that Jesus comes up to them and he draws near to them in verse 15. And he begins to talk to them and he asks them questions. And they talk as they walk. And then after he begins to expound to them from Moses and all the prophets about himself, we find that verse 28, they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward eating it, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Then notice this, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out up their side. One more time. If that was a spirit, he couldn't have handled bread. Amen. But he blessed it, he broke it, he handed it to them. And I'm of the persuasion right here. When he stretched out his hand to give them that bread, they saw them wounds. And that's when they realized that's really him. We've been talking with him this whole time. Amen. Why? He appeared to them in his glorified body. We can look on and on. In John chapter 20, you find that he appears to disciples in that upper room. Now, the first time he appears, Thomas is not there. For some reason, he's somewhere else. We find in verse 20 of chapter 20 of the book of John, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He let them look at his hand, let them look at his side. Then when Thomas shows up, they tell him, hey, the Lord's risen. We've seen him. We've talked with him. Thomas said, I'll not believe it. Verse 25, the disciple therefore, I said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. Well, when the Lord appears, Thomas is there, verse 27, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Hey, he resurrected in a body. Now you say, preacher, this is basic 101. Yeah, but I tell you this, a lot of folk ain't even got the basics. A lot of them would agree with me and say, oh yeah, he rose in a body, but could you have proved it before we looked at the scripture? Would you know where to look? Amen. You need to know. You need to be able to turn to it and, hey, not just what I believe, but hey, show them why you believe it in the Bible. Amen. It was a bodily resurrection. Hey, I got news for you. When we get to heaven, we're raptured out of here, call it be with him, we're going to see him in a body. And it's going to be the same body. Amen. And here's the thing, always, it just thrills my heart to think about, Nate, nobody going to have to point him out. We ain't never seen him with the natural eye, but we're going to know him on sight. Amen. So it is a bodily resurrection. Well, then let me say also, not only is it a bodily resurrection, but it is a broadcast resurrection. For in these same Gospels, again, the book of Matthew, I want you to notice with me, at Matthew 28 and verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met. So here they're going. They've done had the word from the angel, and they're broadcast. He's risen. He's alive. He's no longer dead. He's no longer in the tomb. We find over there in Luke chapter 24 and verse 8-9, and they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things in the leaven and to all the rest. It was broadcast. Now, I'm not going to get very far into this part right here, but I want to throw it out to you. Just in case I preach on the resurrection on Easter, I don't never know. I could preach on hell that day. I never know. I'm just real honest. I just preach whatever God gives me. Amen. But I want to say this. He didn't disappear to these women, and he didn't disappear to these disciples. But we're talking about hundreds he appeared to, according to the book of Acts chapter 1. Hey, and the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to tell you, there's more than a handful saw him in his resurrected body. Amen. And they all told it to everybody they could meet. You know what? It'd be good we get excited about a resurrected Lord just like the early church. And not be ashamed, not be hesitant, but with boldness broadcast, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yeah, he did die, but he's not dead now. He rose again, and he's ever living. Amen. Hey, that's the joy of this thing, knowing he's alive. Amen. Hey, they brought, and we still have that broadcasting the good news. Jesus is risen. Amen. Hey, friend, we see in Psalm 20, he's talking about the resurrection, a bodily resurrection. They broadcast, because even in verse 23 of Psalm 20, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. He's saying, tell it everywhere. I'm alive. Amen. Not only that, let me say this. It was a beneficial resurrection. Amen. Here, I've been counting on this right here for about 2 weeks now. Maybe, 3 weeks. Preached revival and we had revival. That's right. Been over 2 weeks, this thing been stirring in me. I was reading Psalm 22, come across verse 25. My praise shall be of thee in the great kind. We know that's the Lord in the church. Brad, and he's letting know, hey, I'm alive. But then I noticed this part. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. What was Calvary? Have you thought about it? You understand that is where Christ took our place. He was there to reconcile man back to God. Now, it wasn't reconciling God to man. Don't ever get tongue-tied, preachers, and say that ain't right. It was Christ reconciling man back to God, because God done nothing wrong. It's man that sinned. Amen. And he said, I'm going to pay my vows. I got stirred. And the Holy Ghost took me to the book of Hebrews. Won't you look at Hebrews with me just a minute. Hebrews chapter 9. Listen to what these verses say here. Man, the Holy Ghost got stirring this thing in my heart. I was about ready to run up the wall backwards. Amen. He said in Hebrews 9:15, and for this cause. Now, he's been talking about the shadows and types of the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. Talking about those blood sacrifices. But then he let us know Christ gave his own blood. Amen. Verse 15 says this. And for this cause, he is the mediator. Amen. Of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now listen to this, verse 16, 17 now. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a farce after men are dead. Otherwise, it has no strength at all while the testator liveth. Now, listen to me. Now, I want to help you with something, or you just understand this plain, everyday definition. A mediator is a reconciler. It is an intercessor. It is a go-between. Now, there's a lot of preaching that can be done about that. You can even start in the book of Job about the daysman. And for that's what it was. That's what Job was looking for. And Christ wasn't coming then. But Christ came 2,000 years ago. And friend, him and God entered into a covenant for us. A blood covenant. That's right. Somebody said, well, it's just a death. Oh, you wait a minute. That blood was important. That blood still is important. Somebody said, where's the blood at? It must have dried up on the ground. Oh, no. It's on the mercy seat in heaven. And by the way, I want to say this, it ain't even dried up there. Amen. The only reason blood dries up because it's contaminated with sin. Christ's blood, sinless blood. And it's still speaking on our behalf in heaven. Amen. If it wasn't for that blood, we'd all be in hell. Amen. And he died. Now, the word testament in Hebrews 9, hang with me here. Here's, if you won't know, just a flat definition. It's a disposition. It's an arrangement of any sort which one wishes to be valid, the last disposition which one makes of his possessions after his death. In other words, a last will and testament. In other words, we all, some of us have wills that we're going to leave some things for our children. And we'll have those wrote down, a lawyer help us with that, and it becomes a legal document, a last will and testament. The testator is the one that makes the will, who is given what's going to be given out. That's his. Now, he's not giving away what ain't his. He's giving away what is his. All right? Now, if that ever dawns on you, you'll probably get the law called on you, because the Lord owns it all. He can't be, he ain't in no danger of giving away what's not his. Amen. That's a blessing to me, what it does you're not. Amen. Hey, it's his last will. But listen to something. I want to read you something. I got dwelling on this, and I was trying to find the way to work. And I read something by John Phillips in his commentary on the book of Hebrews, and I just wrote it down because it really just sums up what I really want to say right here. Now, listen to this. John Phillips said this, wills, as we make, all them last wills and testament, wills are often contested in court. The benefactor's intentions are set aside as relatives and others' claims will come forward insisting that the terms of the will be changed. Often clever lawyers can completely annul the intentions of the testator and declare in his will. To ensure, now listen to this, to ensure that the terms of a will are carried out to the letter as intended by the testator, the ideal thing would be for the testator himself to come back and execute his will himself. Well, guess what? Such a thing is impossible for man. You getting that part? Except in the case of Christ. Because he exactly did just that. He come back and make sure it's carried out to the letter. Now that will make you want to run back and forth to town shouting it out. Hey man, hey, I promise you something. All of us, for our children, we got some things we'll leave. It may not be a lot, but we got some our material things. We'll write it down. So I want this and get this, and you get this. Or you have to sell everything, split it, and how many numbers of kids you got, and all that kind of. And you know what? When you're gone, there's no way to make sure it's coming to pass. All it takes one, and they can tie it up for years. Nigel heads like this. Amen. But Christ said, that ain't happening. That ain't gonna happen. He resurrected, he's overseeing the whole deal. We have got eternal life now. Amen. Hey, we have got all the riches and treasures of glory now. That's right. Wait, he is there. Hey, when we got saved, part of the family, he said, I'm giving them, they're going to be partakers. You're going to have eternal life. Amen. Hey, can I promise you something? The benefits of his resurrection is out of this world and beyond what you and I can really comprehend. Amen. Hey, I am glad he didn't stay dead. Amen. Hey, I know it's Wednesday night. I know tonight, a basic 101. But oh, friend, what a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. While the world's wanting, you got something new. You're not studying, preacher. Give us something new. I'm giving you the best thing there is. You don't get no better than right here. Amen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. Hey, friend. We see the glory began because of the resurrection. We're going to look at other things in this chapter as we go on in our study of Psalm 22. But I just want to give you that tonight. Give you something, praise God, to help you. You may have had a day or may have been a week thus far. It ain't been real good. But you remember this, Christ is risen indeed. He's not dead. You're not serving a dead God. He's alive, and he's alive forevermore. Amen. And I'm glad of that. Father, take the message tonight. Lord, stir it up and seal it in our hearts. Lord, I'm thankful. I know you're alive forevermore. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Have your way now in the invitation, and everything you do, we give you the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I ask tonight on this Wednesday night service, could there be one that slipped in our midst tonight, don't know Christ as Savior? You say, preacher, pray for me. I need to be saved. Is there anybody? We're not talking about your church membership. We're not talking about your water baptism. We're not talking about your good deeds and talking about the things you don't do. I'm asking you about being saved. And you'd have to be honest and say, preacher, I'm not saved. Pray for me tonight. Anybody? Preacher, I'm lost. Child of God, whatever your need is, our living Lord can meet your need. Let's stand tonight. Brother Tim going to lead us an invitation song. This all's open. If you've got needs, you come to a living Lord tonight.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy.
Oh, yes.
I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near.
Yes, He
lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way.
Oh, yes.
He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives.
Oh, yes, I do.
He lives within.
Let's do one more verse. It's called this good.
Rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing.
Oh, that's right.
Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find.
For
the Father is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives.
Yes, He does.
Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives,
His
salvation to impart. You ask me how I know,
how
He,
I know.
Lives.
He lives
within my heart.
Father, we bless Your name tonight. Lord, that we're not standing on a fable. We're standing on the truth. Lord, we love You because You first loved us. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We're going to have a quick business meeting. So I need a motion that we open for business. It's not the quarterly meeting, but it's something we need to do. Brother Donnie's made a motion to have a second. Brother Mom gave us a second. All right. All in favor, raise your right hand. Open up for business.